get deer yet.
No. Before we get started, I'd like to encourage you to pray for our son Bob. He went up to northern Pennsylvania last night and preached in a church up there this morning. The pastor is 70 years old and looking at slowing down a little bit and bringing someone in to train to take the church for him. Bob graduates from Bible College in May, and so he and Sarah went up there last night and he preached there this morning. They had 12 inches of snow. I think it's Franklin, Pennsylvania, north of Pittsburgh. So they had 12 inches last night and didn't want to cancel church because they brought him in to speak this morning for everybody to meet him. So they had their service up there. They moved it all the way back to 11 o'clock and just had one service. They usually meet at 9, I guess, in the morning. But pray for him, for God's leadership as to whether that's what God has for him and as far as direction. And so we'd appreciate you praying for him. Luke chapter 18 this evening. The Gospel of Luke chapter 18. You say, wait a minute, this is Sunday night. We've been going through the Gospel of Luke on Sunday mornings. And believe it or not, even before the circumstances of this weekend and the canceled service this morning, I'd already planned on switching the sermons from night to morning. So the one I was going to preach this morning will be next Sunday morning. And so we'll do this Luke 18 tonight, and the next Sunday night will also be it, just to keep everybody confused and keep you on your toes. We're gonna move it so you don't get too, you know, locked into tradition or anything like that. Luke chapter 18, we've been going through the Gospel of Luke, and we finished this chapter tonight. We'll read from verse 35 down through verse 43. Luke chapter 18, beginning in verse 35, and we'll read down through verse 43. Follow along, if you would, in your Bible as I read aloud. Luke chapter 18, beginning in verse 35, and the Bible says, "And it came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. They told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. They which went before rebuked him, that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. When he was come near, he asked him, saying, what wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight, thy faith has saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God." Let's go to the Lord together in prayer this evening. Our Father, we thank you for this opportunity to meet tonight. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the forgiveness of sins that came by the shedding of his blood on Calvary's cross. We thank you for the assurance of salvation that we have by our faith and trust in him. Father, we ask this evening that you would speak to our hearts, and Father, teach us from your precious word. God, we are a needy and a hungry people when it comes to the things of God. And Father, we ask you to give us something tonight that would encourage and challenge our faith. Father, that would convict us if need be, that we might take care of the things in our life that need to be dealt with, and we might draw closer to you. Speak to each and every heart from your word. Father, I'm thankful to know that it's not I that speak, but Father, it's your word that you use to touch each and every heart. We pray tonight that your spirit would take the word. Father, apply it to the heart according to the need that is here tonight. I could not begin in my own ability to meet any needs. And so, Father, we're dependent on your presence and your power here tonight. Speak to hearts, Father, should there be any that do not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Father, what a wonderful text to read and to study to get to know him. Father, find out how to know that one who has eternal life and gives it freely to those who believe. Bless your word to each and every heart. Be with us in our service tonight. For we ask these things in Jesus Christ's precious name. Amen. Yeah. This story of the blind man is recorded in each of the first three Gospels in the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, and Luke all record this story. As it's recorded in Matthew chapter 20, which chronologically, as you're reading, you would come across first, it is a story of two blind men that are by the wayside, and they cry out when Jesus comes by. Here in Luke's account, it's a story of one blind man that cries out, and what he says and the result of it are identical to what Matthew says. Now, some would say that's a contradiction, but it's not. It's simply that Matthew focused on the two men that were there, where Luke focused on one of the two men that was there. It's not a contradiction. It's not a different story. In fact, Mark, in the middle of these two, gives the same account, the same story. He only goes with one of the men, and he identifies him for us. As we, most of us will know, this is blind Bartimaeus. And Mark gives us his name. So these accounts weave together to give us the complete story of this man who is blind by the wayside calling on Jesus Christ. He was living in a dark world. He was blind. I can't imagine being blind. My heart goes out to anybody that would spend their life not being able to see. I know the snow's pretty rough, but the beauty of the snow. The other day I was in my office and I just opened up that window and as I was in there working, just enjoyed looking outside and seeing that white snow come down. Regardless of the cold and regardless of the problems getting to church, it is beautiful. And I can't imagine going through life without seeing those things. A man that is blind is in darkness. A woman that's blind is in darkness. And this man, Bartimaeus, was in darkness. And here's the clincher. Until the day he met Jesus. See, that'll preach right there. He was in darkness until the day he met Jesus. And that's the basis of the story here. It's a wonderful, true account of a man who was blind that calls upon Jesus, the Son of David, and gets his sight restored. But it's also a wonderful application of those today who are in darkness. They can't see right. They're in darkness. They can't comprehend spiritual things. And they'll remain in darkness until they meet Jesus Christ. Nothing else can take away the spiritual scales from their eyes but Jesus Christ. And that's what this story illustrates for us here this morning. And that's why the Bible tells us that we need to be careful of walking in the counsel of the ungodly. When you go to the world for your advice, for your counsel, for your leadership, you're going to someone that the Bible defines as being spiritually in darkness as in a believer. How can they guide you toward anything that is the light? Until they come to know Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world, they're in spiritual darkness. The church can't erase that. A preacher can't erase that. The deeds of the flesh can't erase that. Only faith in Jesus Christ, as this man puts his faith in Christ, only that can take away the spiritual blindness and give the blind sight. We notice in this text that the Lord Jesus Christ was on his way to Jerusalem to die. Remember, he just told them in verse 31 to 34, he said, I'm going to be scourged, I'm going to be betrayed, I'm going to be killed, and on the third day I'm going to rise again. And we talked about last Sunday about how the disciples did not understand this. And this was the third time that he revealed this information to them. He had just told them, we're on our way to Jerusalem, I'm going to be betrayed, I'm going to be scourged, I'm going to be crucified. And yet on his way, he took the time to heal a blind man. On his way, he took time to show mercy on one who had a need. It's never too late to come to Jesus Christ as Savior. It's never too late. As long as you've got breath in your body, God has given you the grace to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. And here's Bartimaeus on that road. How blind Bartimaeus found light in a dark world. Let's look at him this evening. First of all, in verse 35, I want you to notice his position. His position. Verse 35. It came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain man sat by the wayside begging. His position was by the wayside. Now, a familiar text will probably come to our minds when we think about that. Luke chapter 8 talks about a sower that went out to sow seed. And some of it fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and plucked it up. And Jesus later told us what that meant is there are some that hear the word, and they're ready to receive the word, but before they do, the devil comes and snatches the word away from them. That's a negative context of wayside. You know, it came to my mind, I did a Google search on Wayside Baptist Church. You know how many Wayside Baptist churches there are? They are all over the place. Miami, Florida, Hagerstown, Maryland, Brooklyn, New York, Buchanan, West Virginia, Hillsboro, North Carolina, Dallas, Georgia, New York City, Anniston, Alabama. All these places have a Wayside Baptist. It's a very common name. And I thought, why would anybody name their church Wayside? Because that's where the fowls of the air came and took the word away, lest they believe. And I thought, well, that'd be a strange name to name your church. It's not named after the town. They just called it Wayside. But you know why they're calling it that? Not because of Luke chapter 8, but because of Luke chapter 18. Because they want to be that place where those that are blind can come and see the light and meet Jesus Christ. What a unusual name to call yourself Wayside Baptist Church. That's the very reason. That's the only reason they would do that. They want to be a place where people could come. You know, Bartimaeus could have stayed at home. I mean, many people today with a handicap such as his would choose just to withdraw from society and hold back from everything and I'm going to get meddling now. Let the government take care of everything while they just sit back and do nothing. But this man, Bartimaeus, had within him the character to get out and do what he could do. To get out by the wayside. And because he got out and went out there, he met Jesus Christ. What if he'd have not gone out there? What if he'd have just stayed at home and as a pacifist spiritually just said, well, you know, whatever's going to happen is going to happen. He got out there. He was aggressive and went forward. And because he was by the wayside, Jesus Christ met him there. You know, it's a sad thing in the spiritual realm that a lot of people don't have the initiative that blind Bartimaeus had. They don't have the initiative that a lost, unsaved man here has because he hasn't met the Lord yet. And they are content to just stay back and show no aggression in trying to find the right answers, in trying to find Jesus Christ. You've talked to them. You've knocked on their door. You asked them, you know, where do you go to church? Well, I believe I can worship God on the lake as well as I can in the church. You know, the answer to that is phooey. You cannot worship God on the lake on Sunday morning. Well, I can worship God in my tree stand. Not on Sunday morning you can't. You say, why not? Because the Bible makes it very clear. Not to forsake the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. God has a place for His children, for people to be on Sunday, and it ain't on the lake, and it ain't in the tree stand, and it isn't anywhere else. It's not at home fellowshipping with God. On Sunday morning, it's by the wayside. It's getting out there where Jesus Christ just might show up. And what a wonderful day it is when we gather together on Sunday morning, and some days are and even Sunday night, some days are better than others, but some nights you just get there and the Word of God seems to burn within your heart and you get excited and thrilled by the words of God and the things of God. You won't get that on the lake. Amen. You won't get that in the tree stand. You'll get that in the church when the Word of God is being proclaimed. And here's blind Bartimaeus out there by the wayside, getting out there where he can meet Jesus Christ and being where he needs to be. Now, granted, there's some churches you could be in. You might as well be in the lake on Sunday morning. You'll get just as much spiritual truth. But we're talking about Bible-believing, Bible-preaching churches, and you need to be there to have the fellowship of the saints and to be there when Jesus Christ shows up because you have a need. You might say, Pastor, I'm saved. I'm no longer spiritually blind. I've got my sight. You've still got a need. And you need to be where Jesus Christ just might show up instead of being where there's no chance He's going to show up. Blind Bartimaeus, that's his position. His position was by the wayside. Look, if you would, also at verse number 35, and we see his condition. Not only his position, but his condition. It says in verse 35 that a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. He's blind and he's begging. That means he's without sight and he's without sustenance. He's begging. He's poor. He has no way to have an income. He has no way to feed himself. He's got no way to provide for himself. He is in a helpless condition. There is nothing he can do for himself. Isn't the Bible wonderful in how it explains these things to us? He is helpless. There's nothing he can do for himself to change his condition. We don't know that he's like the woman that spent all her money on physicians and yet still was not healed. But we know that this man, who has been blind and is blind, knows that there's no one else he can turn to. He is in a helpless condition. It's a terrible thing that's happened to him. May I say this? There's something far worse than blindness. And that's a disease called sin. And that's a disease that leaves us helpless. As the blind man sitting by the wayside, there's nothing you and I can do to deal with that problem of sin. See, the problem is some people don't realize they're helpless. They think, well, I'll do this, or I will do that. I'll join the church, or I'll get baptized, or I'll keep the Ten Commandments, or whatever it is that they think they can do to earn God's favor. They don't realize that they are helpless and there's nothing they can do. Until they recognize their helplessness, They can't come to Jesus Christ. He's without help. He's helpless. He's without hope. He's hopeless. There is no solution. Blindness was a terrible disease back then. The two diseases of the Bible, two of the prominent ones, were leprosy and blindness. In our day, both of those, with medical advancement, have been better treated, but they're still both very devastating things that happen to people. And this man was hopeless. There was no remedy, no cure, nothing that could be done to help his situation. You know, that's where a lost sinner needs to recognize he's at. Until somebody recognizes that they are helpless and hopeless, they will not trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. As long as their intellect gives them something, as long as their religion gives them something, as long as their self-righteousness provides something for them, they'll think they're okay and they can make it. And a lot of folks you talk to that are good church-going people are depending on that part of their life to get them into heaven when they die and don't recognize their helplessness and their hopelessness like this blind man who called out to Jesus Christ. We need to realize the helplessness and the hopelessness of the lost before we can recognize their need and get them to come trusting Jesus Christ as their Savior, His condition. Verse 36 to verse 38, we find his petition. He cries out to the Lord. He recognizes who it is he needs to cry out to. In verse number 36, the Bible says, "And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passes by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me." The Bible says in Isaiah 55 and verse 6, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near." Blind Bartimaeus from this day forward is going to be glad that he obeyed the verse of Isaiah 55, 6, that he called upon the Lord while he was near, that he called upon him while he could be found, because Jesus wasn't going to pass his way again. It was that one opportunity for him to vocalize his need and call out to the Son of God, to the Son of David, and receive his sight and be healed by his faith. This was his opportunity. And he recognized who Jesus was. Notice what they said in verse number 36, or verse 37. They said, "It's Jesus of Nazareth that passes by." Now, I'll tell you this, and I know in some ways it's kind of splitting hairs, but you can't get saved by the earthly Jesus. You can't get saved by Jesus of Nazareth, because that title is his earthly title. That title is his humanity. And though I know it's difficult to split the humanity and the deity, and I'm not going to try to do that. That's more difficult than splitting an atom any time. But Jesus of Nazareth was the earthly term given to him, his human term. And when he cried out, they said it was Jesus of Nazareth. But notice he acknowledged who it really was in verse 38. He cried out saying, "Jesus, thou Son of David." There's a big difference between knowing Jesus of Nazareth and Jesus, the Son of David. Jesus, the Son of David, is his messianic title. This blind beggar sitting by the wayside recognizes he had no eyesight, but he could still hear. You know, the best thing you can do, use the abilities God's given you. You know, we envy somebody can get up there and sing, or somebody can get up and play an instrument, or somebody do this thing. We envy people. Don't worry about what God has given other people the ability to do. When you can't do what they can do, don't try to do it. You know, the worst thing for somebody to do is try to fake a talent or ability they don't have. But the ones that you have, use those. Bartimaeus could not see, but he could hear, and he had heard something. Because there's nothing in this story right here for him to cry out, "Jesus, thou Son of David." He said, "Who is this? What's this multitude coming by?" They said, "It's Jesus of Nazareth." He said, "Oh no, it's Jesus, the Son of David." Something had reached his ears that couldn't reach his eyes, and he acknowledged who Jesus was without physically being able to see him. The world today needs to know who Jesus Christ is. And I'm, you know, Christmas is great, the birth of Christ is great and all that, but the babe in the manger can't save anybody. It's the Christ on the cross. His humanity celebrating his birth, though I think you ought to put it on every courthouse step just to slate the ACLU. I think you ought to put the Ten Commandments everywhere you can just to make the Supreme Court mad. And so put the manger scene out there. Put it everywhere. But remember this, acknowledging that Jesus was a baby born in a manger of the Virgin Mary is a wonderful thing. But that's not what saves. That's Jesus of Nazareth. It's Jesus, the Son of God, that you and I need to acknowledge. And Bartimaeus had heard with his ears what he couldn't see with his eyes, and that is Jesus was the Son of David. He recognized and acknowledged who Jesus Christ is. It doesn't matter if it's a politician. It doesn't matter if it's a president. If he says Jesus is one of many ways, he doesn't have any idea what he's talking about. If he says Jesus is equal to Allah or to Muhammad or to Joseph Smith, they don't have an idea what that. They are spiritually blind. Don't listen to them. You can sit back and just chuckle under your breath and say, you know, that's the way being spiritual blind is. He acknowledged who Jesus was. Notice also he acknowledged what Jesus could do. In verse number 38, and he cried, saying, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Mercy. You know who cries for mercy? Someone that's humble. Someone that recognizes their low estate. And that's what salvation's all about. When you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you did so because you realized you could not save yourself. You realize you could not bend over and pick yourself up by your own shoestrings without falling flat on your face. And you realize that even if you turned over a new leaf, that wasn't going to take care of the previous years of sin that you had committed. It wouldn't erase those. And it wasn't also going to make you sinless from this point forward. So picking yourself by your own bootstraps or changing a leaf or getting religion, you're not going to be sinless the rest of the time. And it did nothing to the sins up to in this time. So you accomplished absolutely nothing. Until you humble yourself and realize that Jesus Christ is the answer and the cure and the only one that can take care of sin. Blind Bartimaeus recognized that. He knew what Jesus could do. What no one else was asked to do. Nobody went to the Pharisees and said, have mercy on me. Why? Because they couldn't. But you know what Jesus Christ could do that nobody else could do? Have mercy on this poor blind man. His petition. Verse 39. His opposition. Verse 39. And they which went before rebuked him. In other words, this multitude, as Jesus passed by, Bartimaeus is on the wayside, he asked the multitude, what's going on? Jesus of Nazareth is coming by. And it says that they that went before, that were in this multitude, rebuked him that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. I like this verse. I could make a whole sermon on this verse. His opposition. The Bible says that they rebuked him. They told him to hold his peace. Can I tell you right now, that's what the world wants you to do, believer in Christ. They want you to keep silent. You can have your religion, just keep it to yourself. You can believe whatever you want to believe, just don't try to proselytize and pass it on to anybody else. You can have yourself a time, do whatever you want, but just keep it to yourself. May I tell you, here's what you ought to do with that. Verse number 39. But he cried so much the more. He cried so much the more. Their rebuke was to tell him to hold his peace, but his reaction was to cry so much the more. You realize, folks, you know this, we're in a spiritual battle right now. In this world, we have been in a spiritual battle from the very foundation of time. But as the times go and the wickedness increases, it becomes even more and more evident that we are living in the last days, and in the last days, perilous times shall come, and the best time for a light to shine is when it's darkest outside. This is our time. As believers in Jesus Christ, this is the time not to hide our faith, not to blend our faith, but to stick out by our faith. Many times in my daily work and travels and going back and forth, I'll stop at a restaurant to eat. McDonald's, Burger King, Wendy's, you know, one of them places to stop to eat. And having most of the time already done my Bible reading for the day before that, when I go in to sit down to eat, I'll take whatever book I'm reading at that time. I'm usually working on one, or I'll get a newspaper and catch up on what's going on and read those things as I eat my lunch. You know what I've told the Lord? It's time, even though I don't need to take my Bible in there with me, because I've already done my Bible reading. It's time not to care about it. It's time to just kind of slam it in the face.
Yeah.
It's kind of just time to say, look, here's what it is. Yeah. Lewis and I were talking today, and we were talking about how, you know, customarily you go to a hospital to visit somebody, you take your New Testament and stick it in your pocket and walk in. I told him, when I go in the hospital, being, you know, older and having some gray hair and I got a suit on, everybody just says, sir, you know, I think they think I'm a physician. They think I'm a doctor or a surgeon. I get lots of respect at the hospital. But you know what happens when you take a big old, you know, 5-inch thick Bible and carry it under your arm and walk around? They see you, the shirt and tie, but they sure see what you're carrying. And what you're carrying, you don't need a Jesus first button.
Yeah.
You don't need any kind of insignia. You carry that thing around and people will mark you for who you are. And folks, all I'm saying is this. We live in a day and a time where it's time to be marked.
Amen.
It's time for the opposition, as they're trying to quell us and trying to tell us to keep quiet and don't get involved in these things and don't force your religion upon. It's time to take the offensive.
Amen.
It's time to carry a Bible around. Just to carry it around. Not because you need to. Not because you haven't done your reading. It's time to carry it around just for people to see it.
Amen.
Put it on your dashboard.
Amen.
Carry it under your arm. I don't care if you're going to a basketball game. Carry it with you. Cause a commotion.
Amen.
Let people know where you stand. Now, you understand. You're in church here. We're not talking about being fanatics and you know, trying to blow up a place or anything like that. But that's the way they'll think you are when you start carrying a Bible around. I remember one time years ago going into a hospital and wanting to see somebody. I was still in Bible college. I wasn't ordained. So technically I didn't have the right to visit this person, because back then they've changed everything now. You can go into any hospital anytime, anywhere now and visit somebody. But it used to be there were strict visiting hours. And unless you were the pastor, you couldn't go in at any other time. I wasn't the pastor. It was a friend of mine. And so I wanted to go see him, but I wasn't sure they let me in. So when I went to the desk to say, you know, can I see so-and-so, I put my Bible right there. You'd have thought I put a bomb on the counter. They said, who is it you want to see? And I gave him the name again. Oh, yeah, room such and such. And let me go straight up there. The world gets nervous over your faith and your Christianity. Again, I'm not saying be a wild man and walk in, you know, and go nuts and all that kind of stuff. But pray when you eat your food.
Yeah.
You know what it did? You know, the more you get around Christian people, you know what always amazes me? To go into a restaurant or go somewhere and see people that get their food, and as soon as the food comes, they just dive in and dig in. We're keeping my son's dog for the weekend. Well, he's a cerebron down from college, and we're keeping him. And you know, that's what he does. You put the food there in there, and man, he comes run over and dives nose first down to that food to get it. And when I'm sitting in a restaurant, I see people get their food and stick their nose straight down in it. I'm thinking, it's just like a dog. You make a testimony and a mark in this society when you bow your heads and pray before you eat your food. You say, where does it say in the Bible you should do that? There's no verse that says, thou shalt bow your head 3 times a day before your meal. But there's sure nothing wrong with doing it. And it's a good testimony in this world. You and I need to be like, we need to be like Bartimaeus. And this is before he even comes to know the Lord. And yet at the same time, when they come and they say, hold your peace, and they rebuke him, he cries so much the more. We need to be Christian people with that kind of motivation and that kind of character. That when the world opposes us, we come out stronger. And it's time to come out strong, because the world's against us. And things are only going to get harder and harder in the days and the months and the years to come. The world's going to have a great celebration this Tuesday. America's going to have a great celebration this Tuesday. Their hero is going into the White House. The hero of Hollywood. All the big musicians, all the big sports people, all the big actors are all rallying around. Oprah Winfrey's beyond her wildest dreams right now. She's so excited. Barbara Streisand just can't get over it. All these people, you know, Barbara Streisand, the one that I can't stand. All these people that are so liberal in their views and so excited now about what's going on. They're getting all excited. You and I need to get excited about our Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We need to exalt Him and talk about Him and lift Him up, just like the world lifts up everything they've got. It's time to do that. His opposition, they rebuked Him and said, hold your peace. But He cried so much the more. Verse 40 to 42. Notice His position. Verse 40 to 42, and Jesus stood, commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, What wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? How would you have answered that question? Sure, you're blind. But you've got the Lord Jesus Christ, the God of creation, saying, what do you want me to do? You know, it could be for you and I, there would be other thoughts that would be more prominent than getting our eyesight back. This guy now has the opportunity. The Lord's saying, what do you want? Boy, if the Lord came to you and said, what do you want? What would you be thinking? What would be the first thing out of your mouth that you would ask for? You would ask for wealth. Maybe you'd be like Solomon and ask for wisdom. You would ask for something to better you in this life and promote you in this life. That's normally what our minds would run toward. But you know what he knew his basic need was? His blindness. Nothing else mattered. Everything else was superficial. He had to take care of the issue at hand. He had to take care of his blindness. Again, this blindness is an illustration of sin. Until an individual takes care of the sin in their life, nothing else is anything but superficial. Wealth, wisdom, knowledge, popularity, position, it doesn't matter. Until you've dealt with the sin issue, everything else is superficial. And here he comes to him and his request is, when he says, what shall I do unto thee? Lord, that I may receive my sight. He knew what his need was. He knew what his need was. This world needs Jesus Christ. They need the salvation that he gives. They need the freedom from sin that he gives. They need the freedom from hell that he provides. That's what this world needs. They don't know what they need. They think they need better economic times. They think they need less legislation controlling them. They think they need bailouts. They think they need incentives. What they need is Jesus Christ. Until you've got him, all the other things really don't matter. You know, you can feed the poor, and I'm all for that. You can feed the poor. But they'll still die and go to hell without Jesus Christ. If you're not basing everything you do on the message of salvation that comes from Jesus Christ. What wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? His answer was, Lord, that I may receive his sight. And his reward from the Lord was, in verse 42, receive thy sight. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Receive thy sight. Thy faith hath made thee whole. June 1st, 1975, Ko'olau Baptist Church in Kaneohe, Hawaii. I came from the back of the church down to an altar. Somebody took me aside, opened the Bible, showed me I could trust Jesus Christ as my Savior. I said, Lord, I believe. That night I got my sight. Amen. I wasn't blind physically before it happened, but I was blind spiritually. I didn't have a clue of the things of God. I had no hope in this world. I was helpless. But the day he came in and saved me, he opened my eyes. And through his word, he continues to do that. Amen. You know, you can have your eyes opened initially by Jesus Christ, but unless you go back for some checkups, you're still not going to see right. Till you go back and get in His Word daily and meditate on it and read it and live your life in it, your eyesight still is not going to be 20/20. Because there's some dust and dirt floating around out there that gets in your eyes and prevents you from seeing clearly. Yes, you're saved, but you need those checkups from the Word of God. Here he came and his reward was, receive thy sight. Verse number 43, his decision. He made a decision upon receiving his sight. Verse 43 says, and immediately. All right, that's salvation. Can I tell you, that's what salvation, immediately. Salvation's not a process. Salvation is not conditions that need to be met. Salvation is an instantaneous, immediate event that takes place when you put your faith in Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Acts 16:31, the jailer came to Paul and he said, what must I do to be saved? He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And he believed on that very same day. Immediately saved, being born again. Bartimaeus came to him, and his decision when he received his sight, he made a twofold decision. He followed him, and he glorified God. To whom much is given, much is required. This blind man that had lived all these years, we don't know how old he was. They lived all these years under the hindrance of blindsight, under the penalty of not being able to see and perceive like everybody else. And yet on that day that Jesus Christ healed him, as far as he was concerned, there was real no decision to make. I'm going to follow him, and I'm going to glorify God. And notice what the Bible says at the end of verse number 8, chapter 18. And the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. You know what the greatest testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ is? It's a changed life that praises him. It's a vocal Christian that gives God the glory. It's one who's dedicated to following Jesus Christ all the days of my life. As David said in Psalm 23. He made his decision upon what Jesus Christ did for him. He made a decision to give everything to Jesus Christ. I'll follow him. I'll glorify God. And when the people see it, they gave praise unto God. The story we read just before this one, not verse 31 to 34, but right before that, was about a rich young ruler. He was rich, and he came to Jesus Christ, and he went away poor. Remember that? Here's a man that came to Jesus Christ poor, and he went away rich. And it was all based on the decision of the individual involved. That one that was rich and went away poor went away sorrowful, the Bible said, because he had great possessions. But this one that came poor walked away rich. He didn't have money put into his bank account. His ATM did not receive a deposit that evening. But spiritually, he was wealthy beyond all means. And he went away happy. It's an individual responsibility. And everybody has to do it for themselves. The rich young ruler could not make a decision for blind Bartimaeus, and blind Bartimaeus could not make a decision for the rich young ruler. Every man has to answer to God for himself. And you can walk away rejecting Jesus Christ and go away sorrowful. Or you can come and walk away following Jesus Christ and live happily ever after. It's your decision to make. And nobody can take that decision away from you. Can I tell you what the best of the two is, if you don't already know? It's to give your heart, as Dr. Green used to say, lock, stock, and barrel. In case you know what that means everything. Give your life completely to Jesus Christ. It's worth the reward that comes. It's worth having your eyes open and you'll see things you never saw before. You know what an unsaved person says, and you know because you've talked to them, I don't want to give up all the fun I'm having. You know why they say that? They're sincere. They really see it that way because spiritually they're blind. And if somebody had told you before you got saved, if they'd have come to you and said, hey, you know, one of these days you're going to go to church on a Sunday night when Sunday morning's been canceled because of snow, the weather's bad, it's going to be cold, but you're going to go sit in a church on Sunday night and have a preacher yell at you for about 30, 35 minutes, you'd have said, not me. That's not what I do on Sunday nights. But you know what happened? Jesus Christ came in. He gave you spiritual sight. He gave you salvation. And now it's a completely different world out there. Doesn't look like it used to because you passed from darkness to light. Let's stand together this evening with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Our Father, tonight we are so thankful for this story that's recorded in Luke chapter 18. We rejoice for Bartimaeus. We rejoice that he received his sight and that his life was different. Father, he followed you and glorified God, and others saw it and praised God for it. We're thankful for that historical event. But Father, we that are here right now, we rejoice in what happened to him. But Father, we are so thankful that story is not a dead story. It's not past history. Father, the truth of that story happens every day in the day we live in when someone comes to trust Christ as their Savior. Father, we, all of us here, probably have loved ones or friends, neighbors, that are still in spiritual darkness. God, our desire is for them to see Jesus Christ, the light. We pray you give us wisdom in dealing with them. We pray that you would speak through us and to them. And Father, help us to show them what they're missing and help them to realize what they need in Jesus Christ. Father, maybe there's some here tonight that, though having trusted Christ as Savior, their spiritual eyesight has been blurred because they haven't gotten the checkups they need. Not in fellowship with You. Not walking close by You. Not in Your Word day and night. Father, we know the world bombards us from every side and every area. Lord, we pick up so easily the dirt and the dust and the filth of this world. Help us, Father, to cleanse our eyes with eye salve. Help us by Your Word to wash them clean. Speak to each and every heart. Help us, Father, to be as this one who followed and glorified You. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Page 270 in the songbook tonight. As always, the altar is open. If God's dealt with your heart, spoke to you on some particular issue or something, and you need to come this evening and talk to Him, you come while we sing page 270. Dismissed in prayer. Travel safely as you go on your way home this evening. Brother Eric Bruner, if you would, dismiss us in prayer, please.
Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for this Bible passage of the blind man seen by the wayside, Your Lord, and how he received His sight. And it's just like a sinner, the Lord, that's walking in darkness, dear Lord, that needs to receive the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're the ones that have that light, dear Lord, and help us to take this light that we have out to the world, dear Lord, that the blind sinner can see the error of his way and turn to the Lord and be saved. It will help us, the Lord, as we go out and help us, the Lord, to be witnesses for You, ambassadors for You. And in Jesus' name, we pray and ask. Amen.